This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, April 14, 2021. The Memorial of St. Justin Martyr by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Gospel reading from this evening is the very familiar passage from Luke 12 that speaks of our Lord knowing us as He knows the numbers of the hairs of our head. It's the one where he says that we should not fear those who can kill the body, but those who can kill the body and then has the power to cast the soul into hell. That is the one whom we fear. And that of whom he speaks is God Almighty himself. I have brought that passage up to people who I've heard them say, I always thought that was Satan that could do it. Satan has no power over your soul. He has no power over your soul. You must let him have that power. Just like you cooperate with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you must cooperate with Satan's evil in order that he has any control over you. It is not speaking of Satan, it is speaking of God. We have to conform ourselves to this God who has the ability, because he has our breath in his hands, to give us life and to take life in this world, but then after this life, to cast the soul into hell, if this is what we have earned, so to speak. It is up to us. This passage in Luke 12, it is interesting to note that it implies that the trials of this life are not confined to a specific time. When you look at a lot of presentations in our day, both inside and outside the Catholic Church, there's a presentation that seems to imply that the trials of this life are when something really bad happens. The trials of this life are constant. We just don't notice them often because they are so light. We have to appreciate the fact that they last and are always with us, these trials of the world. They're not confined to a certain time, but they're spread over an indefinite period. That indefinite period is until we breathe our last. So we must prepare ourselves for that. But we must take great confidence and put a lot of trust in our Lord Jesus Christ because the fact that he watches over us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we need more than we do. Okay, we need to appreciate that. And when we appreciate that, we have to understand that he's always watching out for us in these sufferings. We also have to understand that particularly in verses 6 through 8 of verse 12, or from chapter 12 of St. Luke, it says, but I will warn you whom to fear, let him after he is killed has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. Now, a lot of people like to look at that particular, those couple verses from Luke chapter 12 and get all warm and fuzzy about it and put the emphasis on the fact that Jesus just watches over us all the time. Even presented occasionally, we don't have to suffer that because Jesus is watching after it. Jesus does not promise in any way, shape, or form to save them from suffering. He's talking to his apostles here, okay? And what is the context of what he's saying here? It starts out with the Pharisees and their bad theology, so he's confronted, don't pay attention to them. Don't pay attention to them, pay attention to me. Because they'll threaten you. They say they're going to kick you out of the synagogue. That doesn't matter. Fear him that can kill the body and cast the soul into hell. Fear him. And then he goes into this about the sparrows, that it's not that, hey, you're going to be above that. It is not to promise them that they're going, because obviously what happened to the all apostles? They all suffered grievously. To a man, every single one of them was killed in a horrible way. So our Lord isn't prodding to save them from suffering, but to vouch for them before his Father after they do. So the whole context of this thing is, you're worth more to me than, of course, many sparrows. But even a sparrow doesn't fall from the sky unless your Father in heaven knows about it. You're going to suffer for me, in so many words. But if you do it, then I am going to vouch for you before my Father. This is where Jesus is going in this. This should give us a perspective of strength. If you don't tell people that they're going to face trials in this world, horrible trials, when it does happen to them, if you don't tell them about it, their faith isn't real. Your faith isn't real anymore. When something bad happens to you, I mean really bad, and you've gone to daily mass your entire life, and you say rosaries, and you say novenas, and something bad happens, that's not supposed to happen because he's just merciful and gracious. So obviously he's not merciful and gracious. This is all a lie. I've known people who have not only left the church, but shake their fist at God from that point on when something bad happens to them because they were never presented the fact that we're going to suffer in this world. And if you suffer, and if you do it well, he's going to bear witness for you before his Father. I mean, he says that explicitly, that he will vouchsafe, and they will bring you before the, talking about their sufferings, they're going to bring you before the synagogues and rulers and authorities. Do not concern yourself about what you're going to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you might say. So even during the sufferings, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to be there with us and nurture us. Many, many people come into my office or pull me aside, and some of them in tears sometimes. I see persecutions coming, very discerning of you. You are very right. I say, I don't think I can put, I don't know, I can't be, I couldn't be a martyr. You don't know that until that time comes. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ talked about. You receive special graces to be a martyr if you're called upon to do that. You don't even have to worry about what you're going to say because the Holy Spirit will even give you that. This should be a sense of tremendous security for us as we face the upcoming trials that we're going to face, both in our own lives, just day to day and normally, but I would say, and I hazard to guess, the extraordinary trials that we are going to face in coming days. Be secure in the fact that the Holy Spirit's going to watch out for you. You just need to remain faithful. Today's memorial, St. Justin Martyr, first century, late first century, early second century, within a century after our Lord Jesus Christ's death. St. Justin Martyr, he was a man who came into the, he wasn't born into a Catholic family. Grandfather was a Greek. His father had a Latin name. He was born in the Middle East around Jerusalem. So he's all over the place when it comes to influences of different religions. And he walks that path. And he's really struggling because he's dabbling in all kinds of stuff and he can't find any security anywhere. Then he meets an old Christian man. And the old Christian man just lays it out on him as they're walking around the beach. And all of a sudden, he, just in this short period, he's walked his whole life and he doesn't have any security. He listens to this old man. And all of a sudden, the puzzle pieces are all coming together as far as his faith goes. And this man, Justin Martyr, within years is a driving force in very, very early Christian apologetics. This man was the first one to put down in writing that our Lord Jesus Christ and everything that the Holy Spirit had done after his incarnation as resurrection was a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. This isn't a new religion. It's not that these people were Jews and they converted to Christianity or they left Judaism and followed. Jesus was a Jew. This is the fulfillment of Judaism. This was a premise of Justin Martyr in the early second century. Justin Martyr spoke of the fact that this faith, this Christianity, is not one of many religions. It places confrontational demands on every man and woman who walks the face of this planet. It is the religion. Again, second century. And he even speaks of the Eucharist. the Eucharist and the objective presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, not bread and wine. He actually uses the word, he uses the word transmutation, not transubstantiation, because that came 1,100 years later with St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Justin Martyr uses the word transmutation. In his language, that was the bread and wine change into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? People hear that in our day and age, they're at least familiar with Christianity. Can you imagine this day and age when Christians are a, let us just say, a distinct minority among the pantheon of religions that they have in that day, particularly amongst Romans? And where is his school? In Rome. And that doesn't take long before the authorities hear these claims. And not only do they confront him, most people, you're confronted with being a Christian. St. Justin Martyr writes another book and gives it to them. Hey, I am, and here, read about it. Well, what does that get you in that day? Actually, they actually have a transcript of his trial that's still extant. The prefect, the judge, he looks at St. Justin Martyr and says, approach and sacrifice all of you, because there were some of his students there. Approach and sacrifice all of you to the gods. St. Justin, no one in his right mind gives up piety for impiety. And the judge says, if you do not obey, you will be tortured without mercy. St. Justin, that is our desire, to be tortured for our Lord, Jesus Christ, and so to be saved, for that will give us salvation and firm confidence at the more terrible universal tribunal of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All his students, do as you wish, judge, for we are Christians, and we do not sacrifice to idols. The judge, those who do not wish to sacrifice to the gods and to obey the emperor will be scourged and beheaded according to the laws. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. That's boldness. You don't do that naturally, though. When somebody says, you're going to be scourged without mercy. Yeah. Can you imagine send out a little email this week and go, hey, Sunday, you know, things are going to really turn south. But Sunday, they said they're going to be here to arrest everybody and we're going to be tortured without mercy. I'm not thinking we'd have near the numbers that we normally have. Okay. It's not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. It is a guidance and a protection and a shielding of the Holy Spirit to be able to pop off to the authorities like this. This is what we want. Justin Martyr is living what our Lord Jesus Christ said, because Jesus Christ promised it. You suffer. You suffer for me, and I vouchsafe to proclaim you before my Father who is in heaven. This is why St. Justin could do this. This is why his students, children for lack of a better word, I'm little children, teenagers, early 20s, could endure this. Because young people, Justin Martyr's old, but he didn't care. He's going to die soon anyway. These students had their whole life in front of them, and they boldly said the same thing. We're Christians, we will not sacrifice idols. We don't care what you threaten. We don't care what you say. Our Lord, and I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men, denied before the angels of God. To think that our Lord Jesus Christ, that if you have to suffer things, which we all do, we all will, we all have some kind of little martyrdoms, but if you get a big one, can you imagine, and even the small ones, if we just keep our focus on the fact that if we endure these martyrdoms, that our Lord Jesus Christ is going to vouch for us before the angels of heaven, before the judgment seat. It should be overwhelming. It should strengthen us beyond all imagination that our Lord Jesus Christ will be the one who lauds you before the angels of heaven and his Father. Our Lord goes on to talk about, you know, I'll vouch for you, but if you deny me, I will deny you before my Father. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. What is that about? You know, why is there that interjection? Our Lord Jesus Christ, remember, he's saying this during his earthly ministry. And how many people rejected him? Has he gone, as after the resurrection, gone through the book of Acts, and we see all of the early church and how they were persecuted by the governing authorities. And before that, they were great, very bold in the book of Acts. But these same men, just a few days before, St. Peter denying our Lord Jesus Christ, Judas Iscariot betraying them, all running from him. Even after his resurrection, they don't believe. They hide behind locked doors for the fear of the Jews and everything. There is nothing but rejection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing but rejection. And he says, those who reject me, it will be forgiven them. But those who reject the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven them. What's that all about? You got to break it up into two things. Those who reject me, those who reject Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry, when were they forgiven? When did they come emboldened? Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. Turns Holy Spirit from St. Peter, who denies our Lord three times because a little girl accuses him of being a friend of his, to where he will stand before the Sanhedrin. He stands before what is, would be equal to us standing before the Pope. And he looks at him and says, the Pope looking at you, do not do this. Whether it's right or wrong for me to do it, that's for you to judge because you're the Pope. But at the end of the day, I can only do what I've seen and heard. From a little girl intimidating you to being able to stand before the highest religious authority and basically go, nah, not going to do what you say. Does he not know? He does definitely know, because he saw what they did to his Savior, that the same exact thing could happen to him. But he's strengthened. And at Pentecost, he's restored. He's forgiven. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. You're all going to reject me, and it's going to be forgiven you because you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives repentance and renewal and forgiveness. But he who blasphemes the Holy Spirit, and he's not talking about everybody. He's talking about Christian. He's talking about people who apostatize. He's talking about people who don't reverence our Lord Jesus Christ at the guidance of the Holy Spirit after their baptism, when they've received the Holy Spirit. Then the question has to be asked, because this is what our Lord, where our Lord's going. The question has to be asked, how can one reject the gifts that I just talked about of the Holy Spirit? I mean, you're asking for, let us just say, you're asking for problems if you reject the Holy Spirit's forgiveness and repentance and renewal and continue to do what you are. Because it's not a blasphemy against some rabbi that you're not quite sure who he is. You've studied, watch him do a bunch of stuff, and yeah, the Messiah is supposed to do it. But he doesn't hang on a cross. He doesn't die. So I guess it's in him. The road to Emmaus, those two disciples. We thought he was going to be the one to restore Israel. He was the one who is going to restore Israel and the whole world. And then when he gives them the Holy Spirit, how can anybody who receives the Holy Spirit reject that? I mean, like I said, you're thumbing your nose at his forgiveness. So when it says, how can they will not be forgiven, the Holy Spirit is the one who forgives. He's the one who renews. He's the one to whom we repent. This is what we need to understand. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. Because it's not a matter that the Holy Spirit will not forgive you. You are stiff-arming his forgiveness and repentance and renewal. This is what our Lord's talking about. This is what St. Justin Martyr knew. He knew the words that our Lord was going to vouch before him, before the Father and the angels in heaven. He knew that our Lord Jesus Christ, that if he turned his back on him, then all bets were off, that he needed to stand firm no matter what was going to happen to him. This is what we need to do, particularly in what is probably going to happen in years to come around this place. We need to say the same thing that St. Justin Martyr said. No one in his right mind gives up piety for impiety. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.